Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. You know, Lynette, when a new child enters our family, we're often concerned about how to acclimate them. Mm-hmm. So we think, well, they feel loved, accepted, safe. So in the context of this new and fragile relationship, we're asking ourselves questions about their past and what are we going to do if they misbehave? And I mean, that's what I was worried
about. Right. How do you go to the store?
How do I go to the store and they pitch a fit? What am I supposed to do with that? And oftentimes parents have unrealistic expectations about how quickly children are going to embrace the new set of family rules or the new normal for their lives. And this expectation can often lead to power struggle, which leads to frustration. So we have to ask ourselves, how are we to connect with our children or correct our children while still forming a bond with them? Because what we want to avoid is that they're misbehaving because they are in a new environment and we are trying to get them to behave. And so the connection doesn't occur because we're too worried about connecting.
Right. Absolutely. And then I know in our home, some of the other children felt like, well, you're treating them differently.
Right.
You know, so you got all that going on. Well, right. In lieu of these questions, yes. In light of this, we want to welcome back Stacy Thomas.
Hey,
thanks
nice
for
to be
coming
here.
Back. Stacy, just as a reminder, is the Director of Family Programs for Chosen, and she's been on staff there for 5 years. I bet that's flown by.
Yeah, absolutely.
She has a passion. Stacy, we love your passion for helping parents create homes in which their foster children and adopted children can heal and they can thrive and they can grow, they can settle, mm-hmm. right? Stacy's a certified trust-based relational intervention practitioner, as well as a trauma competent caregiver affiliate trainer. And Stacy, you've got 18 years under your belt, right?
I do.
Yeah, you've personally mentored hundreds of foster families and adoptive families for a long time, and we are so excited to have you back today.
Thanks. I'm really glad to be here.
So, Stacy, how do we bring home children from hard places, they're going to have challenging behaviors. What's your best advice for beginning to correct those behaviors or to engage those behaviors?
Sure. So the first piece of advice I want to give parents is to not think of those behaviors as bad behaviors. Mm. Don't think of the children as just making your life difficult. There's really always meaning behind the behavior, mm-hmm. as Karen Purvis so brilliantly always taught. So the first thing to do is to think through what could the meaning behind this behavior be. But overall, we are not going to be able to correct these challenging behaviors until we've connected. So mm-hmm. the number one thing is you have to connect first. And once you do that, it's easier to correct.
So when you say trusting, to build a bond of trust there, is
sure.
that?
Sure. So when kids from hard places come into our home, the part of their brain, and parents will say, what? I don't need to know about the brain. But actually, you do.
You help me so much. Yeah.
Yeah. As a foster and adoptive parent, you've got to have some basic understanding of the brain. And really smart people have done some amazing research and work over the past 20 years that have really helped us understand how the brain works. So when kids have had trauma, abuse, neglect, and most of all, no attachment to mm-hmm. a healthy, loving caregiver, the part of their brain that is mostly developed is the lower part.
Right.
And the lower part is what's always ready to go.
Yes.
And so if we can connect with our children, it kind of calms that lower part down and it gives kids access to the upper part of the brain, which is where logic, reasoning, our consciousness lives. It all lives up there in that upper part of the brain. But kids don't have access to it unless the lower part is calmed down. And the way we calm the lower part down is by connecting.
Mm. That's really good. We just were listening to a gal the other day, and she was talking about our own behavior. So when we feel dysregulated, things are out of control, it seems, at our house when we bring new little ones in or teenagers or whatever, how we're responding sometimes is unlike what we would typically respond.
Right.
And that mirrors in a child form how they're behaving. So if we can look at ourselves and say, well, I'm responding in a way that I don't typically respond, why would I expect that this child who's had everything in their entire life flipped upside down and then don't even have like the pathways in their brain to be able to go from the lower primitive brain to the upper logical, critical thinking brain, why would we expect any different from that? So we have these expectations that though we can't always control or keep ourselves from making poor decisions and how we react, why would we expect any differently from our children?
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and here's what would happen at my house. So when that would happen, I would just buckle down. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you're gonna lose more privileges. We're gonna, you know, we're gonna tighten the rein. That didn't work, just FYI.
Right.
And why didn't it?
Right. Well, traditional parenting techniques simply do not work with kids who have had complex developmental trauma. And the reason is, let's take your privilege example to talk through this. For a child to understand, well, if I do such and such behavior, I'm going to get this privilege. Where does that thinking live in the child's brain?
Right.
In the upper part.
Right.
And that's the part that they just don't have access to right now. The reason they don't have access to it is because it's a survival technique,
right,
to live in that lower brain. They're trying to control their circumstances and protect themselves. So they don't care about a privilege,
right,
or a consequence. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, so they kind of stay like a toddler, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the behaviors we see in older kids who've had trauma look very toddler-like.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And as parents, I think it's okay to embrace that and kind of lower our expectations until we've connected and attached to these kiddos.
I think we often have to remember that the research shows that, say, you brought a 10-year-old into your home, that many times they're half that developmental age, so 5 years old, maybe emotionally or how they can relate. So if you look at that 10-year-old body and think that they're reacting like a 5-year-old might react, that does at least give you some, okay, how would I then help a 5-year-old through this?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I love to encourage parents to do a developmental checklist that's broken down by ages, mm-hmm, so that they can see, okay, we're on track in,
right,
this area of the child's development. And so maybe physically,
right,
they're on track. Well, that's great. We want children on track physically. Emotionally, socially, they might, mm-hmm, might be less than what they typically should be. That doesn't mean they're going to be like that forever. It doesn't mean they're abnormal. It just means they're delayed in that area.
Right.
So we love to help parents think through that. And that helps us to reset our expectations,
mm-hmm,
so that they're not the same as our friends or peers,
right,
kids who have not had trauma, or if we have biological kids in the house. We can have different expectations for those children.
Can you see improvement in that area? Do you practice that or coach that along? How do you see that improve?
Oh, absolutely. So kids who have had abuse, neglect, any kind of trauma, they don't have a secure attachment style themselves. So there are 4 attachment styles, and we want everybody to be secure. Well, if a child from trauma is trying to attach to a parent who doesn't have a secure attachment style themselves, nobody's ever going to attach to each other, mm-hmm, in the home. So amazingly enough, the studies show that only about 55 to 60% of the population of adults actually has a secure attachment style.
Wow.
So there's a good chance,
right,
that a parent caring for a child from trauma is not going to have a secure attachment style. So we love to have parents really do the adult attachment interview. Mm-hmm. There's a free online one that parents can do, and they can look at themselves and see, okay, this is the style that I use to attach to people. And if it's not secure, they can make changes in their, mm-hmm, parenting so that they connect better. And when that happens, there is tremendous improvement.
I think when we just did a podcast not too long ago about adoption disruptions, and when the statistics are 10 to 25% of adoptions that are disrupted, it's staggering. But I think if you feel empowered to be able to see differences and have a plan of action, that you can think there's hope. There's a long view of this. You have to look at the long view. We had a house in Kentucky that sat up against this big farm, and I used to sit at the kitchen table and think, I love this long view. But in the summer when the trees were growing,
right,
in,
it was gone.
It was gone. And I think we feel that way. We feel very short-sighted,
yes,
sometimes. Like, why is this 10-year-old acting like a 5-year-old? And we get frustrated, and then we may have attachment style differences. And so we feel scared. It really comes out of just fear.
Yeah.
How's this going to look in 10 years? You're trying to put the next 10 or 20 years into today.
And you just can't do that.
And you can't.
No.
So being empowered, learning these principles, knowing, being self-aware enough to know your attachment style and your child's, and some practical principles to put into place to be able to connect so that when you do have to correct, the child receives it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when we're operating out of a place of fear as a mm-hmm. parent, we're operating out of our lower brain too.
Right.
And sometimes it's really good to sit back and think, okay, I'm working out of the place that I mm-hmm. shouldn't be working out of right now.
Right.
And that really helps with connection, which then helps with correction.
I love what you said, Stacey, that we as adults need to step back and mm-hmm. take a breath and assess ourselves and just be honest. You know, so, you know, Paul did that. He said, you know, when I'm weak, Lord, you're so mm-hmm. strong, and I'm weak. I'm what I don't want to do, I do, and what
right.
I should do, I don't, you know,
right.
and that's a great point. So we really want to add that in our show notes on how adults can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm such a fan of that adult attachment interview. I've seen it make just a tremendous difference in homes when parents say, you know what, I don't have a secure attachment style because of my past history.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to make these changes. And it really, really helps a lot.
And it doesn't even help necessarily just help with parenting your children from hard places. Knowing what your attachment is strengthens your marriage.
Yes.
Which in a sense is the covering for your entire family.
Right.
So as you strengthen your marriage and have that security there, it trickles down in a sense to your children and gives you kind of more, it just brings so much more awareness to yourself and to your home and to how things can play out in a better way.
That's yeah, right. It's such an example of bringing children into your home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, broken people bringing in broken
yes.
people, right? Is such an example of the gospel, but it's also how we're totally dependent upon Christ mm-hmm. to bring us to healing. I love what Karen Purvis used to always say, and we've used it so many times. You cannot take a child to a place of healing, right, until you've been there yourself.
That's right. And children from hard places, they have been hurt in the context of relationship. So
mm-hmm.
we need to help them heal in the context
right.
of relationship. And the way we do that is to interrupt that cycle of lack of attachment. So
right.
it's crucial that as parents, we know what our styles are so that we can attach to our kiddos.
So when a child is reacting, just quickly reacting from the lower brain,
mm-hmm.
maybe, so just talk us through a Monday morning.
Mm-hmm, sure.
What does that look like in the home? Like, how do you, as mom, not lose your temper or
flip your lid?
Yeah, flip your lid.
Yeah. So these are these great TBRI principles that TCU teaches so brilliantly, and Karen Purvis and Dr. David Cross were so great about sharing with the
mm-hmm.
world. So they talk about the levels of correction, and again, we're not going to be able to correct kids unless we've connected. So you always want to be asking yourself, how am I doing with
mm-hmm.
connection? But even when we do that, kids are going to do things
right.
that are challenging. So the first step that Karen Purvis always taught is playful engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So a playful tone of voice, a high five, a fist bump, all of those kinds of things are absolutely going to diffuse
mm-hmm.
that lower brain in a kiddo. So one of my favorite stories kind of gives a great example of how we do a level two correction, which is with choices, and it uses a playful engagement as well. We worked with a family who had a little eight-year-old that just had a meltdown every time he needed to take a shower, just was making life miserable for these poor parents. And so what we came up with is, okay, you've got two choices. You can get a piggyback ride to the shower, mm. or you can race me to the shower. And they did that every single night, and the meltdown stopped.
Mm.
So that sounds really easy,
mm-hmm.
and it's not always that easy, but playfulness is extremely effective.
Oh, I agree.
Because
totally.
Children are expecting, when they misbehave, typically in a non-trusting relationship with an adult, that the adult is going to lose it.
That's
and be
right.
angry and give the angry eyes and the angry voice, and that makes them more fearful. So when you diffuse that quickly with playful behavior or playful engagement, it often startles them enough to be, I can remember telling my kids if they were screaming, oh my stars, you are hurting my ears. Are my ears falling off my head right now?
<That's>
and the kids would be like, what? I mean, it stops the screaming long enough to see if my ear is actually falling off
yeah,
my head.
Exactly. Yeah, and the thing I love about playful engagement, too, is it works with all ages.
It does.
It's
going to
work with a 3-year-old as well as it'll work with a 17-year-old.
That's right.
Absolutely. My daughter called me the other day, and I had her children for the day. One's a toddler. He's quite active. And she said, "Mom, did you teach him that camels spit?" And I said, yeah, we were playing farm animals and dinosaurs and race cars for hours, and I was running out of material. But that was the way. Now, do I care about Hot Wheels still and plastic dinosaurs? No, but that's how I'm able to connect with him. And then lunch goes better, mm-hmm. and nap time, when I say, "Hey, it's time for nap. Let's take a dinosaur with that," mm-hmm. things go much better than when I start laying down the law.
Right.
That's right.
Yep. Or the dinosaur is really sleepy, but I mean, let's go tuck him in.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yes, those things are super helpful. Well, what do you say to parents who think that if you're concerned about connecting before correcting, that you're just being permissive,
yeah.
and that you've got to bring, because you know you're going to hear that from your peers or your parents, that they need more structure and discipline? So how do you respond to that?
So it's by far the most common mm-hmm. comment that I get from the parents that we work with at Chosen. And my response is always a playful one of, "How's it working for you?"
Right.
Because it's not. It's not working.
No,
that's
right.
Why you've come to us. It doesn't work to think that more discipline mm-hmm. is going to fix this behavior.
Right.
So if you can lean on your faith and mm-hmm. your spouse, your friends, to say, "I can be strong enough to not worry about what everybody else
right.
is thinking and parent this way," that has been proven over and over and over again to work with kids who have a traumatic brain injury, mm-hmm. which is what our kiddos
right.
all have. 100% of kids who have been in foster care or adoption have had some level of mm-hmm. complex developmental trauma.
Right.
So do not, I just tell parents all the time, get that thought out of your mm-hmm. head and try it this way. And I promise you,
right.
you it will work. It works way better.
If you can give it any amount of time to just see, are these principles going to work? They always work.
And
it does take time. And you do have to do them over and over and over again. So one of the practical tips that you gave were choices.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said that about choices, can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah. So Karen Purvis and Dr. Cross teaches that the level 2 correction is with choices. So with choices, the key is you want the choices to be kind of favorable to both child and parent. So
mm-hmm.
in my shower example, the parent was getting the shower
right,
from
the
right.
child. Take a shower.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But the kid was getting some fun on the way.
Right.
And it just diffused his lack of wanting to do it. So a lot of times it takes practice to figure mm-hmm. out what these choices are. Choices work really well with all ages mm-hmm. of kid. It's not just effective with little ones. It's super effective with older mm-hmm. ones. The reason why the choices are so effective is that children feel like they're in control.
Right.
But you're giving them boundaries for them to make the decision. So when the lower brain is really hyper aroused like it is in these kids, they want to feel like they're in control.
Mm-hmm.
So when you give the choices, they feel like, "Oh, okay, well, I'm
right.
in charge of this particular situation. I can make this choice." Now, parents will say to me all the time, "Well, what if they don't like the 2 choices?" And so then Karen Purvis would teach that she would say, "Are you asking for a compromise?"
Right.
And you can teach little kids the word compromise, and you just teach them what that means.
Right.
The reason that's a beautiful part of helping a child heal is that when they're asking for a compromise, they're using their voice
yes.
that has been silenced for
and
so
And you're
very
building
long.
New pathways in their brain where they're beginning to have to start critically thinking. So if I don't like those 2 choices, what would be an option that mom or dad would agree with?
Right. And I always tell parents, if it is a reasonable compromise, mm-hmm. you give it to
Go
them.
Go for
right.
it.
And mm-hmm. parents are typically shocked that I would say that, because I think parents get so scared that if they give a little bit, the child is going to take advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And I just encourage people all the time, try it this way, because the other way is not working and it's not going to work.
But the deal is if the child has a compromise that's reasonable and you give it, the only way you can give it is if you are the one that had the power to begin with.
That's
right. So I really, it's not as if you're relinquishing all power to your child. You're saying, I'm the one who's got the wisdom here. So that was a reasonable compromise. Absolutely. You can do that. That will be fine. So it's not as if you're relinquishing all of your power and saying the child can just get whatever they want.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Those are good things.
And it does open up a whole new world for them as you begin to see maturity mm-hmm. begin to come together and the upstairs brain. And the Lord's still working on my upstairs brain.
Girl,
I mean,
for
you know,
sure.
And then how the Lord treats us. He's so gracious and mm-hmm. kind and so patient.
Right.
Well, and I love how the Lord has made our brains to be plastic. They're
yes.
meant to heal. And so parents, I just tell them all the time that God made our brains to be fixed. And when you're correcting, if you do it in a connecting way, mm-hmm. that brain, you can just know that it's being healed.
Right.
Those neurons are reconnecting as you're connecting.
Praise the Lord for that. And it you know, as you start things like compromises or those types of things when your children are small, if you have the ability to raise them, you know, from the time that they're little, even now with our teenagers, I can say, this is the situation.
Right.
What two choices do you think
right.
would be good ones? And helping them then move from mom or dad making two options to saying, what do you think would be good options? And let's talk through what those options would be. And it just helps them grow even more. But Lynette, you're so right. When the Lord is so patient
yes.
and so kind, every time I mess up, he doesn't bring the hammer down.
Right.
If he did, I would have been a smushed spot on the road.
Yeah, I would
a
not
long
be
time
here.
Ago.
I would not be here.
And so we have to take our cues from our Heavenly Father who
right.
loves and adores us and desires us to be whole and restored.
Exactly.
And that's how we should parent with grace-filled eyes, but still knowing that boundaries have to be set.
Right. And the goal is that they launch,
yes.
right? I'm launching my fourth one
yes.
this fall. I'll have two left at home, but I want him to launch well. I'm not
right.
there to make those decisions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and we've come a long way
yes.
in the 7 years that we've had him. But if you're not practicing those things at home, they don't leave with the tools.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Always practicing outside the moment. That's mm-hmm. another TBRI principle
yes.
for you there.
Yes.
So practicing so that we can launch the kids well. Well, Stacey, I know that we've talked about a lot of resources. We'll put those all in the show notes, everything from the adult attachment interview to Chosen's website to TBRI
yes.
principles and Jane Schooler's book.
Mm-hmm.
So there are so many things that we can learn and we can grow as parents and as human beings, and it will help our relationships with our marriages and with our families. So we really appreciate your time, and we're grateful for your knowledge that you would share with us today.
Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to The Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.